every day I see. Oh, helping me faithfully overcome my a reality. Jesus is holding me. Oh, something keeps on. Oh, sing it to him, church.
Every day I see.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand. It's a reality. You can't get around it. You can't go over top of it. You can't go under it. It's a reality. Jesus is holding you. Somebody say praise the Lord. What greater hands to be held by than the hands of the Lord? Amen. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Certainly a privilege once again the Lord has given us to assemble together in His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and I consider it a tremendous honor to get to come to the house of the Lord. Not something I dread, not something I don't look forward to, but I actually look forward to coming to the house of the Lord. It's not just a habit neither. It's something that I dearly love to do. How about you tonight? Shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Play a little bit more of that song, brother, if you will.
Reality. Jesus, He's holding me.
say hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. Just if you don't, well, I'm going to let you be seated just for a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. Certainly want to continue to pray for our pastor and the brothers on their trip, that the Lord would just be with them, give them a wonderful trip, traveling mercy as they, I guess, be making their way back home in the next few days. So let's pray for them. Also want to remember Riley Butcher, the little 5-year-old great nephew of Sister Ruth Ann Carter, had brain surgery today, very serious, and asked us to pray. So we certainly want to pray that the Lord would just meet that need tonight, that child, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. I want to have a prayer tonight for a Peggy Townsend. Brother Jerry Phillips called just a while ago. I think they have her on life support, and her husband seen or called Brother Jerry, I believe it was yesterday, and asked some of the brothers to come to his home. They're not Christians as far as I know, but asked Jerry and some of the brothers to come to the home and have prayer for his wife and want this assembly to remember her in prayer. So we are being looked at. We are being watched. People know about us. So we certainly want to take this request on our heart that the Lord would be mindful of that lady. Sister Martha Ann Johnson asked for traveling mercy as she goes to Tallahassee, Florida. Her mother has been hospitalized off and on since early January, and she's going down there to administer some care for her mother. Brother Brad, God bless you. Brother Brad Yance, good to see you in service tonight. Got a prayer request and actually a testimony for Brother Caleb. They just say this, Brother Brad and Sister Sarah says, we would like to thank all of you for the phone calls, the texts, the visits while Caleb was in the hospital. He is doing better day by day. The therapist said yesterday that we were further along than most that's had this type of injury. He is up and walking around, even walking the steps twice today. We just wanted to give God the glory and for touching him, and thank you for your prayers. We believe that God has, it's your prayers that has gotten us through this. Continue to remember Brother Caleb for a complete recovery in that family as they go through that. God's so mindful of us, isn't he? Amen. I want to pray for Sister. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand tonight. I want to pray for Sister Teresa Lawson's mother, who is in the hospital over in Abingdon, Virginia. Let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Brother Terry Horn wants us to remember Sister Alice in prayer. She's had a little stomach virus. She's feeling some better, but still weak in body. So we certainly want to pray for our sister tonight. Then we have this prayer request. Brother Terry and some of the brothers, I think, went over and had prayer with Brother Junior Davis today, I believe it was, and just had a wonderful visit with Brother Junior. Brother Terry's going to come just in a minute and lead us to the Lord in prayer and give you just a little testimony about their visit with Brother Junior Davis today. I want to pray for Brother Junior Davis. He's scheduled for colon surgery tomorrow morning at 7:30. We know that our God is still a miracle worker. You know, it first came out that surgery was not even a possibility. But now after further tests and things, they're saying that they're going to do some surgery. And we just want to believe that the Lord would just, well, if the Lord's not done with him, Satan can't have him. Is that right? And just a footnote to this request tonight, just to honor Brother Junior and that family as he's been in the hospital for now the last few days. Let's not have any visitors for the next little while, just to let him recover from his surgery and let the family rest a little bit. Is everybody in agreement with that? Our most important thing you could do is just pray for our brother and that family, that the Lord would certainly be mindful of them. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Somebody say, I believe you with all my heart. Now give the Lord another big hand clap of praise as you stand tonight, Brother Terry. Tell about the affirmation thing, if you will. Bless you,
man. I want to take but a minute. Brother Jim Babb actually felt led to get a little group together, and he called me and Brother Harvey Lunsford and Brother J.D., and we went over to pray for Brother Junior and had a good talk, good time of prayer with him. And Brother Junior is in very, very good spirits. He's with testimony, he's testifying to the doctors, to the nurses, with the right mental attitude that he does have, with the faith and his testimony, that man's coming out of there. A couple of little things I thought was right, great interest to me. He had three or four pages of affirmations on his little table, bedside table there. And one of the doctors was in there and was actually talking to him, and he kept looking down, reading those affirmations. And while he's talking to June, he just couldn't take his eyes off that, you know. And he just, it's very obvious. He said, well, would you like to have you a copy of that? I said, well, sure, take them with you. So he went and made him some copies. Another doctor came in, and it was so nice. Sister Judy had got one of the grandchildren, I think, to make a poster board, and really nice, printed them off several affirmations, you know, in big lettering. The brother Junior, Sister Judy's picture on the side like that. Another doctor came in and just stood there and gazed. Tears began to run down. I don't remember if it was a woman or man doctor. Tears began to run down that doctor's eyes, and just stood there and read those affirmations. I am redeemed. I am a son of God. I am passed from death into life. I am this. I am that. Brother Junior got to telling us about that. He started crying, telling us about the doctor was crying. And the man's got faith. God's going to touch him. He's going to bring him out of there. They're going to do surgery tomorrow. One of the doctors, I think it was one of the oncology doctors, was in there while we were there and came in and said they couldn't understand when they did the colonoscopy. They could only get the light up in there so far. It was completely blocked. She said, I cannot understand how you can even have elimination at all. He said, well, I can. I have. Well, it's blocked, but I have. And so they're going to do surgery and remove that. And perhaps maybe that's the origin of the problem. We don't know, but he's coming out of there. He's going to be okay. With that faith and that testimony and the prayers of the saints, God's going to bring that brother out. So you just continue to remember God, want to put 1,000 in flight, 2 10,000. You keep holding on, and our brother's coming out of there, and he will be healed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's a great privilege to be a Christian. God, I'm so thankful that if it were not for you, we cannot hold on, because you're holding on to us. I'm thankful, Lord, as the brother preached the other night, we are in your hands from the very beginning of the potter's wheel to the very end, as brother David brought out. We have been in your hands. We were in your thoughts. We are in your hands. Lord, the old saying, you're in good hands with Allstate, that may be true, but there's only one eternal hands that I want to be in. That's the Lord Jesus and his loving care. And happy, Lord, to be a Christian. We're thankful to be in the house of God. We welcome your presence tonight. May you come in, take the uppermost seat. May you bless your children. Speak to us, Lord, through your word, through your servant tonight. And give us, Lord, thus saith the Lord, give us, Lord, spiritual food in due season, the ever-present water from the rock. May we learn, Lord, more about your grace in our life and how we should live and how we should conduct ourselves and how we should talk and how we should act. And Lord, and our attitudes and our mindset and our focus would all be positive. Lord, we were looking to get out of this old sin-cursed world. We know the devil's days are numbered, and he's doing what he can, going about seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, his future is mighty grim, but our future of the bride is mighty wonderful. We're so thankful to be part of that. I pray that you'd touch every request. First of all, Lord, that 5-year-old that had brain surgery, Lord, I pray that you'd just give a complete restoration of health. Let it be another testimony of the grace of God in that child's life. Touch Brother Junior. Be with us. Guide the surgeon's hand. May there be no errors at all. And may it be just a total victory, as not only in the spiritual side, but in the natural side as the surgeon goes forth. And Lord, may it be a complete healing. And I pray, dear God, that each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, may each one of them be a testimony. My wife's been sick. Lord, take that condition away from her. And the other things, Lord, where she has sometimes when she takes a trip and she gets fatigued and gets those chills, Lord, that's a trick of the devil. But I pray, God, you'll make her well in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil, you're a liar. Jesus is her healer. Every request I hold in my hand, I believe in tonight for a testimony. Brother Jerry said, remember Brother Tracy called him. Touch Brother Tracy. Encourage his heart. Give him grace tonight, Lord. I know he's up in age, but you can still touch an old man like you can a young man. Be with Brother Donnie and the brothers. Give them traveling mercies as they enjoy their time until they come back home. Lord, and may you be with them, and grace be with all of us. Bless the service tonight. May it be a wonderful time of fellowship in the house of God. As Brother Louis said, we can't wait to come into the house of God. We enjoy coming to the house of God. We love to come to the house of God. We love to meet you. You're our bridegroom, our master, our king. Speak to us, Lord, through your word tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. I don't know if Brother Junior Davis has access to stream the service. Maybe somebody there in the room that might have a phone that would pick up the service. Anyway, I want us to dedicate this service to Brother Junior Davis. First of all, to the Lord Jesus. Then I want Brother Junior Davis. I want this service to honor him tonight. Is that all right with you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Sing that second verse for me, Brother Harry, if you would.
Satan laid before me his temptation, his desire to steal away my
tonight. You can be seated. Let me make this announcement once again. Sister Vanessa Morris has a new CD that she has recorded. I think there's about 18 songs on here. They have these over in the library if you'd like to pick one of them up. Most of you remember her for the song that we talked about the other night. What was it? Do you remember? Yes, give me Jesus. I was looking for it on here. It's not on this CD, but that's the song that most of us remember her from singing. It. She sang it so wonderfully, and Brother David brought some of these back with him. And there's not a definite charge that you have to, or a price that you have to pay for this. It's a donation only, and $25 or $30, something like that. You know, just what well, no. Brother Jimmy and them are taking care of all that over in the library. They have a special place that they're putting the donations for this CD. So if you'd like to pick one up, they have those for you over in the library. Brother Ben Norod's coming tonight. He and his wife are going to be singing. And he's going to be preaching. Are we glad to see our brother and sister with us tonight? Let's stand if you would. Brother Harry, let's sing a chorus. I feel like praising, praising Him. Well, I feel like praising, praising Him. Oh, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him all day long. I feel like praising, praising.
Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Have I got? Am I on? I hate technology. I hate it. Praise the Lord. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to see each one of you again. Always count this such a great privilege to be with you. We certainly love you and appreciate you. And I thought we'd sing a little bit if it'd be all right before we get into the preaching part. Amen. God bless your heart. Amen. I brought my little stick of dynamite with me tonight. Hey, buddy. Good to see you, man. Key is C, brother. I told you I hate technology. Look right there. Can you get it?
My every care upon the Lord. My pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages. Yes, I'm safe from all the storms that rages. Reach, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock.
I say,
even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. And with his hand to guide me, from temptation hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Heaven is open tonight.
I'm standing,
yes, I'm standing on the rock of ages. Yes, I'm safe
from
all the storm that rages. Reach, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock.
I'm safe.
Yes, I'm standing on the rock of ages. Oh, yes, I'm safe
from
all the storm that rages. Reach, but not from Satan.
Came the Spirit of the Lord.
Sing a little bit more of that. What do y'all think? Come on, get that second verse again. I love this right here.
Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. And with his hand to guide me from temptation, hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Come on, somebody just raise your hand.
I'm saved. Oh,
that rages rage. Yes, I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock.
I'm rich.
Rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock. Jesus is a solid.
That kind of singing like that. How about you? They can have him slow songs. I like some got a little feeling in it, don't you? Amen. I want Sam to sing this. God is still God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's God everywhere you go. Can you say amen to that tonight?
On a mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change, and you're down in a valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone.
You believe that tonight?
For the God on the mountain. It's the God in the valley.
Amen.
When things go wrong, He'll make them right. The God of the good times, it's the God in the bad times. The God of the day, it's the God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on a mountain, and talk on so easy when life's at its best, but it's down in the valley of trial and temptation that's when your faith is.
That's right.
Really put to the test.
But I believe this is right.
For the God of the mountain is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. The God of the good times is the God in the bad times. The God God in the night, God of the day, is to God in the night,
the God of
is to God in the night.
Do you believe it?
Let's stand together tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe He is, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn tonight to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. The brothers have been working very, very hard to get my notes in sync and gear tonight. I appreciate you brothers for working like that for me tonight. I sent them all my things that I thought I was going to preach until I woke up real early this morning. The Lord said, "What do you mean you're going to go that way? You got to go this way." I said, "Okay. Here go we." Amen. So I want to speak to you on what the Lord spoke to me. Expectation during the delay. Expectation during the delay. How many knows we're in a delay? How many is thankful for the delay? Well, if you're not, you will be by the time we get done with this. Matthew 24, verse 44. "Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart." Now I want you to notice where the evil servant is speaking. Not from his lips, but from his heart. That's the real place that the man lives at. What he believes in himself is not in his mouth, it's in his heart. Right. "My Lord delayeth his coming." My Lord delayeth his coming. "And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of." So he goes from days to hours, honing down, getting closer, getting narrower toward the end, coming to the capstone, where all that, only the ones that can walk that razor's edge is that elected life. Right? That predestinated bunch that's called of God to walk this razor's edge. Right. Not believe it today and then not believe it tomorrow and then, but they are believers. They are built and made to be believers. Right. I'd like to read to you tonight from Questions and Answers. Brother Bram says, "We're just to wait on the coming of the Lord." Just wait. It's kind of hard to do, ain't it? Sure it is. "Keep your lamps trimmed, all filled full of oil. Pray up every hour, not every day, every hour. Just keep ready. Be ready. Oh, Lord. Be sweet." Do y'all believe message people can do this? You talk about miracles. To get message people to be sweet? Lord, it'll take God. That's right, it'll take God. "Be sweet and watching." He sings the song, "We're watching for the coming of that glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with raptures. I labor, watch, and pray for our Lord is coming back to earth again." That's it, he says. That's the hope of the church this hour. So our hope is built upon his coming. Our hope is not built on a return ministry. Right? The word's amen in case you forgot it. You might want to remember it because you're going to need to say it a few times tonight. It's not built on shooting a brown bear. It's not built on an airplane. It's not built on a new brand new church. Some supernatural something out of the middle of nowhere that about 100 people or so follow and they think it's so great and so mysterious. Yeah, it's mysterious, all right. But the coming of the Lord Jesus is what we've got our eyes on. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, I count it such an honor to stand here amongst these people. When I hear their amens and I feel the presence of God and the presence of the people, there's something special about this little place to me. from this platform, Lord, have come many sermons that have helped me to be the man that I am today. Many of the people that sit in this congregation have befriended me. They've said things to me that have helped me along life's way. Lord, to stand here on this platform and to think I could ever help them, I would be ashamed of myself to think such a thing. I feel truly little to stand here before them. But I'm asking you tonight that if it be your will that you desire to use me, I submit myself to that great moving of the Holy Spirit. Take my lips, take my thoughts, take my actions, take my body, take my heart, take every part of me, and use it as a conduit to speak to your children tonight. And then I pray that you would anoint them, that as their eyes would come open by revelation, their hearts would be opened as well, that that revelation would drop into their soul. May you anoint the word tonight as we hear it and as we receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, if you hold your Bible right there, I'd like to look at that again in Matthew 24. And I really want to take it and just really analyze it real good. Because the things that we've just read, I personally believe, are more pertinent to the hour that we're living in now than any other time period. You could have quoted this very same scripture in Luther, and though it would have been the truth and it would have been God's word, yet the seriousness and the urgency of it wouldn't have been in that day as it is in our day. So the truth of what we've read tonight, the real revelation of what we've tapped into, is more relevant to you and I in this hour than in any other time period in any other age. Even though for 2,000 years the people have looked for the coming of the Lord Jesus, they have waited and looked, and some that have fallen asleep have waited upon the coming of the Lord. They went down looking for the coming of the Lord. Brother Bram said they raised with the same anticipation looking for the coming of the Lord. And yet in their generation it wasn't made known to them like it'll be made known to those that are alive and remain in this dispensation or this generation of time. And the reality of this, of what we've just read, is more than just some kind of scientific, fictitious something that people have made up and conjured up in their imagination. But it is the Word of the Lord. Now, when we look at this, I'd like, brothers, I hope you got them pictures ready tonight. Throw up one of them there tonight. Just pick which one you want. I'd like you to see what man's concept of the rapture really is. Now, if you'll see behind me, this is the idea that some people have about the rapture or the coming of the Lord. Now, I don't mean to use this as something funny necessarily, but to show you how pitiful it is of what people's idea about the rapture and the coming of the Lord really is. Now, for you and I as believing people, as message believers, and I'm not ashamed to call myself a message believer, I'm ashamed of some of the people that surround it, but I do believe this message. Don't you? I believe it's right. I believe it's the truth that was sent by God to get us ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, you recognize that this is the concept that many people have of the rapture of the coming of the Lord. That streets are going to be lined out with clothes, just like this right here. And it makes me always wonder, Brother Danny, how in the world could God have taken that man and not taken that dog at the same time? So I don't know what Fido done to be wrong, but he got left behind. But this is their idea or their concept of the rapture. This is what they believe that it's going to be about. If you look at this next picture, this is also one of the great ideas of the rapture. You can see there's Jesus standing in the heavens, and there's planes crashing into buildings because they're unmanned, and there's cars and people floating up out of those cars, and people coming up out of the graves, and the whole world, according to this picture, this idea, is going to see the coming of Jesus. And they believe that CNN and Fox News and all of these others are going to catch the coming of the Lord. But may I submit to you tonight that when Jesus comes for the elected of God, it will be so quick and so sudden that only those that are synchronized with the truth of the hour will see Him when He comes. Brother Bram said it this way, using Einstein. I don't know if you've studied this or not, but Einstein's theories of science and space and atoms and what more said that if two objects can move fast enough, they can pass through one another and not harm any molecules and what more like that. So Brother Bram uses the speed in one of the messages. He talks about a 1 billion miles per second. You know what I'm saying? That it travels so quickly that it can pass through one another. Now we know that Jesus, when He comes, that He will descend through the heavens. He will come from the third heavens down through the second, and he will come through the clouds, but he'll be moving so quickly and so fast that the world by natural eyes cannot see him. Remember, he won't pass through the heavens and fly through the clouds, and Fox News put a big old thing, oh look, there's Jesus, everybody look, they'll miss him completely. I don't know, they don't make a camera that can catch 1 billion miles per second. And I got news for you, there ain't a devil that can move that quick either. But I know the group of people on this earth that's going to move that quick. And I believe by the grace of God, I'm looking at a few of them tonight. Fastest I've ever been is, oh, I don't know, 300-500 miles in an airplane. That's Boy Scout stuff compared to what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to take a journey, brother, that's going to, it won't even be registered. It can't even be measured. It will be a participle so quick and so fast that it'll be in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. Some of them folks that don't like coming to church on Wednesday night because things just seem to move so slow for them, I feel sorry for them because they're going to miss the rapture altogether. You can't be one of them soft, lazy, just hanging on type Christians and make this out. This thing's accelerated so fast, you better stay in speed or you're going to get left behind. That's right. Thank you, brothers. Now, if you notice this again, when Jesus picks us up, Matthew 24, I want you to notice that the readiness of the elected or the readiness of the church is directly connected with the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, just look at it again. Jesus said, now, therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not that the Son of Man cometh. All right. Now, notice when the Lord comes, it is a connection, a direct connection with the readiness of the church. So his coming, your readiness is all put together. Oh, glory to God. Your readiness, his coming is all put together. Do you understand that the very reason that you are sitting here tonight and Jesus has not come and taken the people of God out of here is because some of you ain't ready. I'm not where I need to be. You're not where you need to be. And that is why the Lord is delaying his coming. He is letting us have a moment of time so we can get ready. Friends, I don't know about you, but I wasn't ready to meet him 5 years ago. I wasn't ready to meet him 15 years ago. Oh, come on, don't look at me like a bunch of angels. I wasn't nowhere near as close to the Lord as I am right now. Come on, preach with me. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, he has delayed his own... Listen, it's not that God looked down at his watch and said, well, you know what, I'm running about 15 minutes behind. No, that's us coming to church. Everything works in God's plan. God sets times and time limits and makes everything work according to that time. So you understand in the very day when all hell is going to break loose on this earth that God fit into the readiness of his own coming a delay for them soft, lazy Laodiceans to get ready for his coming. Some of you ought to be throwing your hands up and say, thank God he's waiting on me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, notice the two categories of people. The one group is the evil servant saying in their heart. Now, in their mouth, they're saying one thing, but their heart is saying another. And you just remember the Word of God always discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Some people around this message think they're hiding from God. They think they're hiding things from God, hiding unbelief from God, hiding this from God, hiding that from God. You ain't hiding nothing from the almighty hand of Almighty God. He understands the motive and the objective of your heart. Now, if you pick this up with Satan, it was the very same way. When Lucifer falls from heaven, he says, I will, I will. Notice that carefully. He says it in his heart. He doesn't say it from his mouth. He says it from his heart. I'm going to tell you what I've learned around this message. I've been preaching just long enough to be dangerous almost, okay? And I've dealt with enough people in my lifetime to tell you, many folks won't tell you from their mouth what they believe. They won't tell you from their mouth what they think. They won't say with their mouth what they really understand. But in their heart, they'll say, well, boy, that's the greatest thing I ever heard in their life. And in their subconscious, in their heart, they're saying, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of nutcase stuff. I don't believe that. That's ornery. That's good for nothing. Don't you think the Holy Ghost can see your desire? Don't you think God Almighty himself knows what you're thinking? You can't quote out of this side and then unbelieve out of this side. White man can't speak with forked tongue. Come on, somebody say amen tonight. Now notice when the evil servant says, my Lord delays his coming. This is not a bad thing. But it is your attitude during this delay that will determine how you're going to end up.
and Jesus has done it on purpose. He's allowed a revival to die. He's allowed churches to get cold. Come on, somebody. He's allowed people to backslide. He's allowed little things to come in and steal away their faith and steal away their expectation, because this is proving time. This is the hour that's honing down, that only those that are truly sold out to this word are going to be left standing when this thing winds up. Brother, if you got your mind on anything else in the world but this word, you're going to be left behind. Maybe back in the 80s you could have slopped in and slopped out, but we're at a razor's edge now. Maybe back in the 90s you could have missed church every great now and then, but if you miss church now, you've missed a lot. And we put our job and our home and money and everything else in front of the house of God. We put everything in front of our life. Oh, well, I got to do this, and I know we've got to live. I know we've got to work, but who's more important? Almighty God or almighty dollar? Woo, Lord, you folks are quiet on me tonight. Now, notice this. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Now, notice his behavior is demonstrated by what he really believes in his heart. His attitude toward his brother. You can tell a lot by the way a guy thinks about things, by the way he acts about it. I've seen people sit in church and go, amen, amen, amen. And they got this look on their face like somebody dipped their head in a gallon bucket of lemon juice. You know what I'm saying? That their mouth is saying one thing, but their heart and your behavior are directly connected. You cannot fake it out. You cannot disguise it. Somewhere, God's going to bring it to light. Amen. Amen. Now, notice the Lord of that servant comes in an hour that he is not aware of. How long is church? Couple hours. Now, do you realize Jesus could come before I get done preaching in this platform? Can you understand the reason why some people just ain't gonna make it, Brother Jim? Do you understand why some people are just not going? I know you don't like that kind of preaching. You want me to preach, everybody's gonna make it. Somebody's gonna go to hell, friend. Whether you like it, whether I like it, somebody is going to go to hell. Just promise yourself, Lord, don't let that be me. Let my life, let my heart, come on somebody. Let everything I am say, Lord, keep me from that terrible place. Now notice the Lord delays his coming. Now, Brother Ram tells us, be ready, be sweet. Lord Jesus. If some of y'all shut down this bad now, I hate to see what you're going to do in 45 minutes from now. Woo, Lord, you flip the switch. I'm not saying amen no more. He can come on all he wants to come on. I'm not coming on. You're telling on yourself. I said you're telling on yourself. Now notice, the hope of the church is the coming of the Lord Jesus. Not a tent. Not a brown bear. But the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, when you look at the first advent, or the first coming of the Lord Jesus, let's just look at it a little bit. When John is sent to forerun the first coming, John's message, John's ministry is to prepare. We'll look at some of this in the morning, but to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, the first advent. Now, the reason that, Brother Bam tells us, of course, the reason that the people could receive him was because there was two groups on the earth looking for him. The Jews and the Samaritans. You remember when he meets that woman at the well. She said, we know when Messiah cometh. Brother Man said, future home. He said, that little speck of light laying down inside of her. Why? She had been taught that the Messiah would come. So she was indeed, though a prostitute, though in sin, though all kinds of scars in her life, yet she was looking. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. She had her eyes looking for that Messiah. And when she was looking, it brought the expectation out of God. And as she was looking for God, God began looking for her. Hallelujah. Do you understand that your expectation is directly connected with his expectation? As you've heard it said in this church many times, you think you want to see Jesus? Not nearly as bad as Jesus wants to see you and I. Now remember, he says, and we would see Jesus. The Jews were looking for him. He was pointing to the Gentile age. That sign was never performed before a Gentile, but it was to the Jew and the Samaritan because they was both looking for His coming. So because they were expectant, it brought God on the scene. Ah, boy, didn't we just roll up our sleeves and dig plumb in the honeypot. Now, do you understand this is the reason right here why many people don't get nothing from God? Because they don't expect it. Come on, get quiet if you want to. I'm preaching anyhow. Right. That's the reason why many times God will lay His word right out before us. And we'll look at it and say, well, you know, it might be for so-and-so, but for me, for me, I'm no good and I'm sorry and I'm a scout. Don't you talk about God's hidden treasure like that. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you've been saved by the blood, if you have been born again in the Spirit of God, you are not a scoundrel. You are not good for nothing. Come on, somebody. You are not the scum of the earth, but you are the precious redeemed product of Almighty God. The prophet said He knows your eye color. He knew your hair color. He knew everything about you. Come on, somebody. There is nothing that Jesus didn't know about you and I. And you were made in His own eyes as being perfect. Well, I don't see no perfection in this old thing out here. I'm not talking about looking at your old flesh. I'm not talking about seeing you the way you see yourself. I'm talking about the way He sees you. Hallelujah. Notice they were both looking. So because, Brother Larry, they had an expectation, God could meet their expectation. Woo, it's going to be sticky in here for a while. So Lord, help me just plow through, will you? Now notice, because they were looking, God could meet what they were looking for. And the prophet said not 1/32nd of the entire world even knew the Messiah had come to the earth. Why? Because there was only 1/32nd looking for Him. Look at him standing out there. You've been born in fornication. You say before Abraham was, you was. Why do you stone me? Jesus said, me. He said, because of these good works. He said, no, because you being a man, you make yourself God. Well, I got news for him. He didn't make himself God. God made him God. Hallelujah! God's the one that made that egg out there. God's the one that made that sperm cell. Joseph wasn't his father. Mary wasn't his mother. But God was his mother and his father. The Holy Ghost overshadowed that womb, that virgin. All right, hang on. But the object of Jesus' worship was His Father. Jesus didn't worship Himself. He worshiped the God down inside of Him. That's why on the cross He said, my object, why have you forsaken me? Because God is an object of worship. Brother Bam said Jesus didn't come to reveal Himself, but God, He came to reveal God, His Father. And there they're looking at Him. Brother Bam tells us this unveiling of God 6:14-64. He said when they're looking at one says, you're just a man. The other looked at Him and said, I see God in there. How is it one group saw God, another one just saw a Jewish man? Depends on what you're looking for. Woo, come on somebody. Depends on what you're looking for. I'm feeling them glory bumps going all the way down my spine. Everywhere to hang on. Here we go. That's the reason why you get so much trouble sitting here in the house of God. Some of you see Donnie. Some of you see Amos. And others see Almighty God. Some see Brother Branham. But we saw Almighty God veiling Himself in this last day. The world looks at you and sees John and Sally and Susie. But God is hiding down in them skin veils. Depends on what you're looking for. And may I go a step further? Depends on what you see in yourself. You can look at yourself and all you see is Ben. All you see is John. All you see is Sally. But if you'll get your eyes on the right thing. Hallelujah! You won't just see Terry and John and Sally and Susie, but you'll see a predestinated germ from the foundation of the world. Oh, mighty God, living inside that heart. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Depends on what you want to see yourself. That's why the devil's all the time trying to get you to look in the mirror of what you were. See what you used to be? See what you used to be? See how you are? See, you like your mama, you like your daddy, you like your uncle, you like your aunt. See. Yeah, I see it all, devil, but I'm looking in a different mirror. I'm looking in a different mirror. I'm looking in the mirror of my Father, the Word. When you really get this revelation right, Happy Valley, you won't see yourself. You'll see Christ. Christ! But our problem is, we let the devil point ourselves to ourselves. And we sit there and put up with that trash. Let the devil ride you like you're a bunkin' bronco. Let the devil ride on you like I don't know what. I want to tell you something, friends. What we need in this last day is some Shamgar anointing. Some people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Brother Man said old Shamgar's out there starved half to death. But he saw them fat potato bugs coming over the hill. And he said, today's the day the buck stops here. The buck stops here. Oh, God, children, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is here right now to come right down and anoint your faith. But you've got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's face facts, okay? The reason we're in the situations we are, because we don't feel like fighting out of it. Well, I've tried 1,000 times. I wish we had the attitude Brother Branham had. If I pray for 1,000,000 people for divine healing and every one of them die, he said, I'll be on the field tomorrow praying for 1,000,000 more. Because he said, God is right. I said, God is right. God's word is true. God will have a bride in spite of your own self. Amen. Come on, somebody. God will have a bride. Satan barrels down on you. Do you really think that's you? Do you really believe you're the one? I got news for the devil. No more than Jesus could make himself God, I can't make myself nothing. But I can point to the blessing. I can point to the covenant. Hallelujah! I can point to the anointing God placed on my life. I can point to my open eyes in this last day truth. I can open and point my heart to the change that God made in my life. Amen, amen. I can look at all of that and say, what about it, devil? If I ain't going to make it, why is God trying to save me so bad? Ooh, glory, glory. He sends me preachers. He sends me the Bible. He sends me the Word. He gives me brothers and sisters that love me. If God wants me to go to hell, why is he trying to save me so bad? I'm going to tell you what your problem is, some of you. I don't know. How about let's just say all of us? Fair enough? Let's just not pick on a few. Let's just throw ourselves all in the same lump, okay? The reason we get in the messes we do is because we put up with too much. We let the devil put sickness on us. We let the devil put depression on us. Come on, somebody help me preach tonight. We let the devil tell us we're not going to make it. Let the devil try to discourage us. Let the devil lay every trap for us and we just walk right on into it. But there's a people on this earth tonight that the Holy Ghost is trying to get in his hands that he can mold and shape into the image of a son and daughter of God. Not a bunch of sissies, but heroes. You're going to think I'm crazy for sure what I'm getting ready to tell you. But I believe a housewife who knows her position in the body. I believe while she's vacuuming her floor. I believe while she's working her living room. If a devil's coming into her home, I believe she can tip the vacuum cleaner up, take a step back and say, I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God. I believe that's the anointing that's being released to you and I. I believe the greatest surge of Holy Ghost power, of supernatural influence is releasing to you and I. But we've got to expect it. We've got to be expectant that it's for us. Listen to me. The coming of the Lord must be personal. It can't be just a group event for you. Jesus is coming for a body. Yes, Jesus is coming from group. Yes, but you must identify yourself as a part of that coming. Jesus just ain't coming for you. Jesus is coming for me. For me. You'll notice when Brother Van tells that story about that girl out west, he don't ever stop to say that she was standing there trying to text all of her buddies and figure out who all's coming. Huh? She didn't send out mass emails. Who's with me? She made sure she was ready. Oh, hallelujah! Preach to us, Holy Ghost. I'll say amen. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. She didn't walk around taking a poll or a census. She wanted to make sure she was ready. Because that rancher's son promised he was coming back for her. Oh, friends, the coming of the Lord cannot be just something we read in a book or something that's reserved to a group. It must be personal. Personal. Can y'all handle a little bit more? You're doing good. You're doing good. Other churches would have passed out by now. Y'all are doing all right. Now, notice, in expectancy, Brother Man says, if you come expecting to get help from God, he says, God will meet your expectancy. Now, just let that soak a while, can we? Now, that may be very, very simple to you, but there's enough power in that quote right there to revolutionize every home that's in this building tonight. There's enough power in that quote to drive diabetes from your body. You say, well, I don't know so much about that. Well, I do. The Lord just healed me of diabetes. Right. You heard that, didn't you, devil? You heard that, right? God healed me of diabetes. Listen up down there. Hey, don't you fall asleep on me. Yeah. What? What? You didn't like it? I didn't ask if you liked it or not. God didn't ask you. He just went ahead and done it anyhow. Well, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your expectancy, what you expect, God, not a preacher, not a church, God will meet what you expect. Lord, I feel like preaching tonight. Lord, just help me not to spontaneously combust. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. I love these next words. Brother Man said, he always does. Yes, sir. He said, wherever you go, whatever you do, what you expect brings your faith. So if you don't believe it, you ain't gonna expect it. Because faith cometh how? By hearing of the word. You can understand the cycle of this and the channel of this is that people that sit in church and fuss with everything the preacher says. Every quote he reads, they chase it with four more in their mind. Every scripture he reads, they disqualify it by 12 more statements they think they know better than. I'm going to tell you some of the problems with some of our churches. We got a lot of lay members that are trying to be preachers from the pews. They want the preacher to listen to everything. Hey, if God didn't call you and you ain't got no gift, keep your mouth shut and listen to those that God did. Woo, Lord, praise. Listen, God didn't call everybody to be a chief. Some of y'all got to be Indians. You need to quit scalping one another and start scalping the devil. That's where you belong. Right. We take our old hatchets out and I don't like this and I don't like that. Nobody asks you what you like and what you don't like. What we need, friends, is an expectancy when we walk in the house of God. Lord, I want you to speak to me no matter who you do it through. But look at how we come to the house of God. If it ain't our favorite preacher, If it ain't the guy we like to hear talk, we don't like his mannerism, we don't like the way he speaks, well, bless God, I'm not getting nothing out of him. And you're exactly right, you won't. I've said this humorously many, many times, but it's the truth. People sit right in church and say, well, he looked right at me when he said that. Yeah. Well, somebody please tell me where preachers are supposed to look. Yeah. Right. Should I preach to the pews, the lights, the piano? What do you want me to preach to? It's all right with you. I'd rather preach to you. Can I look at you? Is that all right? Yeah. Bless God, he hollers, he growls, he snarls. What in the world is the matter with folks? Do they not recognize that if they're not careful and the Holy Ghost is making that man do that, do they know how close to blaspheming the Holy Ghost they get? I'm going to tell you something, friend. You get it the right way, it'll make you slobber. It'll make you roll. It'll make you jerk. It'll make you dance. It'll make you jump. Let me tell you what some of you young people need in this building. You need a good old-fashioned Pentecostal hoedown. You need the Holy Ghost to beat you plumb down to your toenails till you shout and scream and holler and throw your hands up and wiggle and jerk. That'd do you a whole lot better than these bunch of idiots out there breaking their legs on a dance floor. Did you slip a hammer in there somewhere? I thought this was lollipop night. But their expectancy. I don't like the way he plays the piano. I don't like the way he leads that song leading. I wish to God they would do it this way. And then when they walk out of church, they say, I didn't get nothing out of the service. You're kidding. Wow. That's a bigger revelation than the opening of the seven seals. Friends, I'm not trying to be mean or hateful or comedic. I'm trying to tell you the truth. When we come into this house of God, when we assemble all around the world and come to that spot to where we're ready to hear from the Lord, it is how we expect God to move, and that's how God will move. I'm going to tell you what our problem is around this message. We're scared of Pentecost. We're scared of dancing. We're scared of jerking. We're scared of good old-fashioned worship. Come on, get quiet on me. I ain't slowing down. We're scared of somebody throwing their hands up and saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're scared of somebody getting up and dancing around a little bit. We're scared that we might wrinkle our clothes or lose our bobbin pins. But those that are wanting to see the Holy Ghost move, they don't care if they roll, they slobber, they dance, they jump, they jerk. It makes no difference to them as long as God moves. Right. But we've gotten to a place to mess with, well, I'm just a quiet person. I'm just quiet by nature. I'm just a quiet person. Until you get on the ball field. And they hit home runs. And then you'll squeal until you lose your voice. You know why? Because your God's a big bag of air. Woo! Come on! Come on! But to really get loose in the Holy Ghost, we can't set our pencil and paper down long enough to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We got to write down our praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, God ain't looking for note takers. He's looking for Holy Ghost sons. Holy Ghost filled daughters. Come on, somebody. He's looking for men and women that can get loose in the power of God. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We've got so dried up around this message, we look worse than the Methodists do. Get mad if you want to. I'm quoting you from the Bible and from the message. Don't you tell me that I'm out of the Word of God. Don't you sit there and think in your heart that we're wanting, oh, he wants to take us back to Pentecost. You're right. Plumb back to the very original. When Christ fell down on the day of Pentecost. I happen to be the brother of a brother who gets drunk too. And I love to get drunk in church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not emotional. All right, let's prove it. After church, you brothers that's got hammers, meet me in the office. And you that ain't emotional, bring your right hand to fellowship. And after taking said hammer on said thumb, Let's find out. If you don't squeal after I whack you, you can sit in quiet in church as long as you want to. Amos, how'd I get here? How am I here? What you expect? Oh yeah, that's right. We're talking about expectations. What people expect, that's the reason why they don't get any farther with God. They come to church. It's the same old, same old. So-and-so's gonna worship. So-and-so's gonna raise their hands. So-and-so's gonna sing a certain song. And, well, you know, we've been singing that old song 35 years and it just gets better and better and better as it goes along. And then when we come to the house of God and we got such desperate needs, we say, Lord, I want your help. I want you to bless me. I want you, but we really don't expect him to do it. It's all lip service. Lord. We can have the altar call now if y'all make you feel better. Huh? Come on now. Your expectancy of what you believe. You say, well, you don't understand where I'm at in life. But Jesus knows where you're at. Jesus knows what your burdens are. Jesus knows what your problems are. You give us a few years around this message. Men like me that jump, shout, and holler. And men like Amos and these brothers by Terry, we're going to be hated. We're going to be hated. Because you know what people run around this message? They want that intellectual thing. They want somebody to stand up there and read them about 12 pages of quotes and just read them after one, after one, after one, after one. And stand up there and not sweat, not holler, not kick, not jump, not raise their voice. Stand there real intellectual with their hands folded and talk like some big professor out of Harvard. I got news for you. The bride of Jesus Christ ain't looking for an intellectual. She's looking for the power of God. God, what we need in this message, in this coming generation, is young men that are full of the Holy Ghost, that aren't looking for a message education, but they get on the backside of the desert until God so wonderfully fills them full of the Holy Ghost, until when they open their mouth, they're speaking like thunderbolts. You do realize we're getting ready to turn a corner around this message, don't you? Whether you like it or not, this next generation is coming on like gangbusters. And you know what my greatest fear is? We're going to wind up with a bunch of intellectuals in the pulpit. This bride ain't getting out here by intellect. She's going to go by the power of God, by the Word. By the Word. And the gospel must be preached in demonstration and power. Not a bunch of people that preach about healing and read quotes about salvation and has never experienced it themselves. How in the world did I end up in this? I just have to keep following the Lord, I suppose. Y'all must need it or I wouldn't be here doing this. Now watch, what you expect brings your faith. If you come saying, well, there's nothing to it. That's just the way you'll go back home with nothing to it. Take an apple, put it in a box. Don't expect to reach in and grab an orange. Put an apple in a box. Don't reach in and expect to grab a pear. Put an apple in, expect to get an apple. Come to the house of God with no expectancy. Expect to walk out with nothing met. Well, it's been fun to be with y'all. I've enjoyed the last couple of years. We'll just have to remember the memories, okay? He said, but if you come tonight saying, well, if I don't get prayed for, I'll go home and won't be healed. That's just the way you'll go. But if you come here tonight saying, I come for one sole purpose. Amen, amen. That is to contact Christ for my body or my soul. You'll go home just as happy. You'll go home just as happy as you can be. He said, because you have contacted him. Why? Because of what you expect. Very next paragraph. Faith knows no defeat. What in the world has this got to do with faith? Because your expectancy brings your faith. What you expect is what you believe. What you believe comes by hearing of some source. Now, if your source is the Word, you will believe as the Word, and you will expect the Word. Say it like this way. If you got a package, maybe from Amazon or eBay or one of them companies, and they said at a certain time, they send you an email, 12:30, the UPS driver or FedEx or somebody's going to come out your doorstep and deliver this package. You'd be sitting out there at 12:29 with your pen in your hand, ready to sign the document. Why? You believe the message, you believe what was sent to you, and your expectation punctuated that faith by looking for it to come. Lord Jesus, you understand when the Bible says by His stripes you are healed, and then you take that word upon your heart and you say, Lord, I believe it with all your heart. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But if you expect that what God said, that it was meant for you and the message was for you and the healing is for you, then you will receive what you've asked for. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. But if you sit back and say, I got the email, but you know what? He'll probably miss my house. And it happens to me. I was at McDonald's here not long back, and I was on my way to a meeting. I'm going to preach to Brother Charlie Spencer out here. And I stopped up here almost up close by y'all somewhere or another, and I was at this certain McDonald's, and I stepped up here to order. And there was a guy standing there. She made like, you know, he'd already ordered, and I stood there, and I ordered, and she said, have you been helped? He said, no. I reached over. I said, buddy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get in your way. I didn't realize you hadn't ordered yet. Yeah, that's all right. He says, it's going to happen to anybody. It's going to happen to me. And you know what? The Lord spoke to my heart. The reason he gets what he expects is because that's what he believes. Some of y'all don't know to say, amen, ouch, ooch, each, help me, Lord, run for cover, duck. The British are coming. You ain't got no idea what to do, some of you, do you? I tell you what, if you'll open your heart to what I'm preaching to you tonight, the Holy Ghost will deliver some of you sitting here bound up by that unbelieving devil. There's power in this quote that I'm reading to you. If you will let your faith release, then the divine energy of God will release to you. Notice he says, faith knows no defeat. So if my faith is undefeatable, then my expectation is undefeatable. The devil says, aren't you tired of waiting for it? Are you kidding? I'm just getting started. Are you kidding? 25 years, that ain't nothing to God. That's only been 25 nanoseconds ago. I'm still waiting. Faith, 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 faith knows no defeat. Then if your faith is undefeatable, your expectation is just as undefeatable. Look at how this holds hands together like husband and wife. For your faith is perfect. Lord Jesus, do you understand that if your faith is perfect, then so is your expectation? Let me put it to you this way. Somebody that is looking for God to move on their behalf, they look at every turn to see what's going to happen. I remember many years ago, I was in a battle. The Lord had really been wearing me out over my sorry, bitter attitude about everything else that went around. And I was feeling sorry for myself. And I'm probably not saved and all that. And the Lord got to dealing with me. And you know what he done? He whipped me. I got one of the biggest whippings of my life when I was just a baby Christian. I remember one time I was listening to the Word. And I thought to myself, that could never be me. And I felt the Spirit of God come down and lay such an attack on me that I said, Lord, I am so, at the end of that thing, I said, God, I am so sorry for being that ignorant. If you let me hear it, you meant it for me. But you know what I found out, Brother Larry? You know what God was doing? He was working on my expectation. Because I was hearing the word yes at 14 years old. When I was not even really a Christian, I was about 12 years old or so. First time I seen Brother Lenio, I listened to them songs and I could memorize every word he said and pack my quote book under my arm and quote from the message. And listen, I could quote Patmos Vision. What a horrible thing. A man drifting on the sea of life. No pilot to God. I knew every bit of that. Didn't a bit more have the Holy Ghost than nothing. I could quote the word whole with my eyes closed when I was still a sinner. But later after I got the Holy Ghost, I could quote it but didn't believe it was for me. Then the Lord started dealing with me. And Jesus said, you know what? You're going to have to get rid of that old lying devil. And I noticed, the more I looked for him, the more I saw him. I remember walking through a yard one time, looking down at the floor or down at the grass. I was so discouraged. I thought, Lord, you're killing me. You know, here I am, a teenage boy. All my friends didn't like me. I'm a boy preacher anyhow. They think I'm a sissy. They think I'm an ignoramus. They think everything else in the world. And I thought, Lord, I don't even know what to do. And I looked in the yard, and there was a popsicle stick laying in the yard. And on that popsicle stick was a scripture. Something to the effect of, I'm an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know what, friends? People laughed at me when I told them that story. But you know what I come to find out after studying this morning and looking at this time and time again down through the years? I realized that because I was expecting God to move on my behalf, He showed up in ways that I was looking for it. Now, I'm not talking about superstitious, you know, hocus-pocus type job. I'm talking about things that line up with the Word. But there's an expectancy. If you look for God to move, then God can move any way He wants to. But it depends upon what we expect. I love this next statement right here. Faith brings things when there's no things to be brought. You're wondering, what in the world's this got to do with the rapture? Hang on, I'm getting there. Faith creates... Let's just call Brother Branham up here and ask him if that's true or not. Let's call Abraham up here and ask him if that's true or not. Let's call 5,000 that were fed by created fish and created bread if that's true or not. Come on, somebody. Faith! Faith! Will create. And Brother Branham said he spoke them squirrels and went out there and sat down and looked for them. He expected it. He expected it to happen. Glory to God, glory to God. You go back and read that. You realize Brother Branham sat out there for better than an hour, almost freezing to death, looking for one of them squirrels? Now, if that had been you and I, and the church gets a little too cold, bless God, I'm not going back. Wednesday night's the coldest night in the church. But their expectancy lined up directly with their faith, and Brother Branham believed it, and he went and looked for it. I love this next statement. Can y'all handle it? I believe you can. It takes negative and makes positive. I know some of us live in a world of negativity. That's because we expect things to be negative. You ever notice people's got problems with churches? They've always got problems with churches. You know what I'm saying? Every problem. Every church. That church has got a problem. There's not a church in this world that don't have a problem. And when you show up at that church, it's got a bigger problem. You. Me. You know what I'm saying? Now notice the way that you expect things to happen. Well, I tell you, if anybody's going to get cheated, it comes tax season. And you go to hit that little submit button on your TurboTax, I'll probably get audited this year. You'll read that little line that says, don't be afraid, only 1% gets audited all every year. It is a hard thing to get audited. You'll say, I'll probably hit the mark this year. This is how we live. We live in a world of such negativity. We live in such a world of, hey, I'll never do it, I'll never make it, I'll never excel. And then if you do, they'll tell you, well, you might make it, but if you do, you won't keep it long. The devil's built this expectancy in the people of Laodicea. Friends, how blessed are we to have those things taken away from us by the Word of God? To have those things purged. Hallelujah! To have them purged from our life by the burning power of the Holy Ghost. To have that seared out of our hearts. When you was a sinner, you expected Friday night to be your drinking night. And you usually met your expectancy. Now that you're saved, Saturday night you're drinking night. Hey, there ain't no one man that's got a copyright on that. That came from the Message. Brother Bam said you need to get so drunk you don't even know what your name is. But you know, I tell you, if anybody's going to get blessed, it's going to be so-and-so. And so-and-so's always getting blessed, and there's something wrong with that guy. There's something wrong with that girl. There's no way anybody could be that happy. There's no way anybody could have that much joy. There's something. They're on something. I guarantee it. Now, notice this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. What time did I start preaching anyhow? Y'all care? No, I don't neither. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now notice the word that Paul uses here. It means anxious and persistent expectation. So notice Paul's expectation was for Christ to be magnified in his body, whether it be by life or if it be by death. So Paul was looking at all times for Christ to be magnified in him. And we around this message claim that we're the original. I wonder if our attitude is original. I wonder if our attitude fits this kind of attitude right here. Huh? Don't get too quiet. You're telling yourself. Friends, is this the attitude that we're supposed to have? Yes. We're supposed to expect anywhere that Christ could show up in your life. Now I ask you, was God magnified? Was Christ magnified in the life of the Apostle Paul? Was it? How about in death? He's standing there looking at Nero's chop block and the voice thunders out, death, where's your sting? And grave, where's your victory? Was Christ magnified in death? Well, if you don't think so, all you have to do is just ask him when you get to the other side. As I imagine a few seconds after that blade went whoosh, I imagine an 18-year-old Paul come a-hopping through them rolling fields of bluegrass. Oh, hallelujah. I imagine he got to saying, I made it, I made it, I made it, I made it. While his head's laying on that ground at Nero's chop block, there's an 18-year-old body taking an eternal breath. History tells us Paul was beaten so much that he was almost a hunchback. You imagine him standing there in front of Agrippa and all them. When they began to challenge him, and old Paul with his eyes bad and couldn't hardly see, and reached out there and said, oh, King Agrippa. I imagine that little old hunchback didn't look like much to them people looking on him. But the ones that could hear it right, the ones that could see it right, they didn't hear a man, the Apostle Paul. They didn't hear a blind hunchback, hook-nosed, hot-tempered Jew. They heard the voice of God. So Paul's expectation is Christ will be magnified, whether in life, whether in death. All right, now what about you? What about me? Now if I'm going to have an original attitude, if my life is going to be right back to the original, then this is the attitude I must have. I know it's hard for you, I know. I know sometimes when the word of the Lord comes, it's preached way on up in there. You see, our misconception is we believe that as soon as we hit stop on that tape player or we walk out of church that God's demanding us to meet all of this right tonight. God ain't looking for you to have this down pat tonight. God wants you to take it in your heart. He wants you to receive it into your soul and say, Lord, I may not get it tonight. I may not get it tomorrow, the next day. But by your grace, if you'll help me, I'll come up to rise to this vision somehow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you hear Brother Bam preach, is your life worthy of the gospel? Many times we hit stop and say, Lord, I might as well quit. That's because our thought is that God requires that out of us right then. God ain't looking for you to come from a baby and speed up all of a sudden and become a big grown adult overnight. God knows you got to grow. God knows you got to eat. God knows you got to drink sincere milk. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is antichrist to assume we all full grown when we get the Holy Ghost. It's contrary to the word. You're born a baby. You know, science proves that in them four stages that a baby has a certain way about it. When it first starts out, it's very selfish. Its whole world is about itself. But when it comes to maturity, it's about others that's around it. Romans 8 verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present, can I go on a bit? Thank you. He said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. In us. Not around, not on. In. In us. In our mortal body, we are fulfilling the expectation of God Himself. God said there'd be a bride. God said there'd be a church. God said there'd be an elected. And in your mortal body, you are fulfilling God's expectation for you. Don't be ashamed when you're sweeping floors in the name of Jesus. That is God's expectation for your life. Be happy that God's got you there. Hey, Brother Bam said a housewife has got it right. She can be more influential than a preacher in a pulpit. That's what he said, friends. He said that she can have more influence. Why? Because she lives what's being preached. Notice he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. Oh, Lord, that's hard to do. I hate to wait. I hate it. I hate to wait on anything. I am the most impatient person on the face of this planet. Boy, that anointing comes down. Brother Ben, I'll tell you, the Lord's sure with him. I wish you could see me at that red light down there. I hate to wait. I hate to sit around and wait and wait. I'd rather take a whipping than wait. At least you can get the whipping over with. But some of the greatest parts of a Christian's experience comes when they simply wait upon the Lord. Now I want you to notice how that expectation and waiting go hand in hand. Notice how he connects them. He says the earnest expectation, again, anxious, persistent expectation, and it waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now this word that he uses here, it means to show persistent and hardworking effort in doing something. And patiently waiting for. Work and wait don't sound very feasible, but that's what God's asking of us. Work and wait. And work and wait. And wait and work. And work and wait. Here work, there work. Everywhere wait, wait. Old McDonald had a farm. Wait, work, work, wait, wait, work. You say, but that don't sound like much fun. This ain't basketball, friends. Notice, oh my. So Paul, oh glory to God. Paul and God, because remember this is God's expectation for the age. God himself is waiting upon the manifestation of sons. Now sister, don't feel bad at that because the Bible never directly voices its direction toward women. If you'll notice the Apostle Paul, let no man deceive you. You know, let no man, always addressing the woman's leader, which is the man, the head of household. So you take the address of sons of God. So what that means is, when the sons of God are coming to their spot in this delay, this waiting time, God being patient, expecting someday you're going to get it. Expecting, waiting. Just a few more sermons and that thing's going to click on for them. Just a few more quotes. If he'll hit that one scripture. Oh, I can't wait for the man of God to bring what I gave to him on that Saturday. Or on that Wednesday, because Amos and John and Susie, it's going to come on for him that night. So what is this delay? God's simply waiting and expecting and working and waiting and expecting and working. I'm so glad he's patient with us. Aren't you? I said, I'm glad he's patient with us. Friends, where will we be if God just got sick and tired of us and just threw us by the wayside? Notice in Proverbs 24:13-14, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now look at the meaning of this word. It is a Hebrew word, tikva, ground of hope, things hoped for. That sounds familiar somewhere, Brother Terry. Let's see. Let me see if I can get my computer to call it up. I have to reboot. Let me think here. Oh, I remember now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your faith and your expectation are directly connected. Proverbs 11, 6 and 7, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. But a Christian's expectation lives beyond the veil. Their expectations, make money, get a job, have this, do that, do the other. And when he dies, his expectation is gone. But when a Christian comes to them last hours and their breath is beginning to slow and the heart rate and the blood pressure, everything's beginning to stop, and they come to that final hour, their expectation is awoke in a new body. It doesn't end in that old body, that old temple laying in there. But God, by the holy power, hallelujah, he transfers that expectation from one realm into another. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. That's why when a man dies looking for Jesus, he awakes looking for Jesus. Proverbs 10, 27, 28, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Not mourning, gladness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Now notice again how the readiness of the church and the expectation of the church is directly connected with the coming of the Lord. Can I have a few more minutes of your time? The devil keeps telling me I'm holding you too long. I ain't got the slightest idea. I just feel like preaching and I want to preach. Is that all right? Thank you. When you get to feeling this good, man, you don't want to leave this atmosphere like this. Now notice in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. Now notice the way Paul phrases this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So if you don't believe it, your expectation ends with your unbelief. Now what if your expectation is not fashioned and formed by God's word of the last day? And you're looking for Jesus, but you're looking for another type of Jesus. That's why the world will get a Superman. Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody to cure all the economy's ills. They're looking for somebody to cause manufacturing or craft to prosper. Come on, Americans, don't get quiet on me. They're looking for somebody to solve all their issues. And because they expect it, the devil will deliver it in the form of the Antichrist. And some of these poor blind message people walk around saying that, you know, Barack Obama and this one and that one's the Antichrist. And they can't see that purple curtain over there, sitting over there getting a little bit closer every year. You remember the prophet said in Acts of the Holy Spirit 1954, that according to prophecy that a pope will be brought out of the United States, not America, the United States. You know why? We're the image. Where the image that's being erected unto the beast will have power to speak, will have power to act under the authority of Satan's Superman. Because that's what America's looking for. So if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Look at the definition of this word. It means, I love this, to lead as a general. I know some of y'all been so quiet the whole service. You're just sitting there. You're afraid to let loose and squall. But I wish you'd squall on that one right there. That is good stuff right there. Because that tells me that we're in the army of the Lord, not in a picnic, not on some kind of a sightseeing tour, but God is equipping and calling us to fight the greatest battle that's ever been fought. Hallelujah! Our souls, our minds are being prepared to walk in the armies of God. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Not Paul's guess. Not Paul's supposition. But Paul is speaking by God's word. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Brother Branham says in Jesus Christ the same. I don't see one thing left that would hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus tonight. He said, that sounds rather erratic, but it's the truth. All the prophecies pertain to a second coming, as far as I know, is already fulfilled, waiting for His coming. So what kind of people should we be? Alert and ready at any minute for His appearing. Now notice the coming of the Lord is directly connected with how you are. He goes from talking about His coming to talking about what kind of people you and I should be. Y'all think it ain't important? I sat down in a barber shop today to get my hair cut. And the woman asked me that was cutting my hair. She said, where are you headed? You on business? I said, I'm going to the church tonight. I'm going to visit some friends of mine and see some people I know. She said, where's it at? I said, Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. She said, oh, I'd pass that place all the time. She said, them people keep it so neat and pretty outside there. They do such a good job on the outside. Do you see? Your behavior is a reflection of how people look upon you. Some of y'all went to sleep on me right there, didn't you? I remember when Brother Bam goes to talk about the future home, one of the first things he goes to doing is talking about how they act in the motel rooms, how they act in the restaurants. Now notice in the delay, the time of delay where God is waiting, He is waiting for you and I to match His expectation. Do you realize that's why you need preachers? Because preachers convey to you what God expects out of you. Oh, Lord Jesus, that was powerful. Thank you, Lord. They convey what God's expectation is for your life. So if you click them off, you're shutting down God's expectation. Now, notice, didn't Brother Bam know? Seven seals got to be opened. This is 1958. He's got to preach marriage and divorce. Huh? Feast of the Trumpets. Things that are to be. Rapture. He's got to preach all these great mystery truths. And here he is in 1958 looking for the coming of the Lord. That's the kind of man I want to be right there. Notice, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. A shout. I love this word. It is an order or a command. Specific. To a stimulating cry. Either by which animals are roused or urged on by man. As horses by charioteers. As hounds by hunters. You realize Brother Bam said when that preacher gets in the pulpit. He said he's a lot like my old dog Fritz. He said when we get the skunk up against that tree. He said I'd raise up the branch and say sick him Fritz. Sick him Fritz. He said, that's about the way it is tonight. He said, we got the devil trade. He said, and you bring that preacher on, sick him on by saying, amen. Don't you know what you're doing as the message comes from God down to your soul and you respond out of that word? You are telling God by your mouth that yes, I believe your expectation. Yes, I agree. Yes, I believe what you expect out of me. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. I think some people are afraid of getting the devil tree these days. Afraid that he might remember you're the one that treed him. Friends, I'm going to tell you our biggest problem around this ranks. Is we don't have enough confidence in what God has said about us. If we believe so much more, Brother Hare, if we believe everything God said about us, and got all that doubt, all that unbelief, shoved away all that nonsense and said, Lord, I realize I can't do this in myself, but you said I could do it. You said, I'll read you a quote, maybe the Lord willing, where Brother Manning said, spoken words, original seed, he said, when Christ is inside of a man, he said, that word inside of that man makes that man absolutely undefeatable. One of my favorite statements in Why Christ Speak, July of 63, Brother Bam said, I'm so glad a man or woman can live so close to God till the devil don't even know what to do with them. Come on, somebody. But our expectation, we live so far below. because of our expectation. Jesus is hanging right above this church, looking right down on top of this bride and saying, I believe that you can be everything I said you could be. Now, Brother Kenneth, if we don't meet that expectation, if we don't raise up an amen or shout back that word and shout that word back. Listen, the message is more something you pack under your arm, but the shout is a response out of your own heart. Oh, hallelujah. The shout, the message is a command that God commands to you, and then you command back to God. Yes. 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 Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that what she's all singing about. Something keeps holding me. I'm so glad he does, Brother Daniel. I ain't got the slightest idea how long I've been in this pulpit, but I'm nervous I'm going to hold you all too long. But friends, I'm having such a release up here. The Lord Jesus spoke to me back in that back room. I was absolutely going through all kinds of little old battles. A devil saying this, a devil saying that. And the Spirit of God come to me. And the Lord came right down there and said, son, get out there. I'm going to be with you. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to say amen back to my Jesus. You kept your word. You said what you would do. And you've been right here in this building all night long. Not just for me, but for every son and daughter of God that needs the truth. Praise the Lord. Let's raise our hands and love Him. Glory. Hallelujah. Sing it, buddy. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Something keeps holding me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, every day I see. Helping me faithfully.
Helping me faithfully.
To overcome my trials.
My trials. Just a minute, just a minute. Everybody bow your head now. Take the hand of somebody standing there next to you. Now, saint, we ain't got enough room in this church tonight to have an altar call. But I can tell you in the name of the Lord, the way God was preaching to some of you tonight, some of you are guilty of letting the devil take this from you. Now, as you got your hands laid on one another, if you're guilty in your heart, I want you to repent right now. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for that old stinking rotten attitude that I've let the devil put on me. And tonight I am accepting my freedom and I am accepting... Hallelujah. That's it. It's already happening right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we got our hands laid on one another, I'm praying that this building will be so saturated with the power of God that the Holy Spirit and the angels of God will stand at post at every person that's praying and repenting tonight. May every bitter attitude, may every failed expectant attitude, may every failed expectancy be drove out of the building tonight. And may the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit of God, may it give us a saturation and an energy, a divine, powerful energy to raise us in the heavenly places and to believe now for all things that are possible to them that believe. In the name of Jesus, for every one of your children. Hallelujah. That's it. Now put your hands up and thank Him for it. Say, it's mine. It's mine. Every one of you that accepted tonight, say, it's mine. It's mine. Come on, Happy Valley. Don't be starchy now. God wants to bless you. He wants to move for you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I accept it. I accept it. I accept it. I accept it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. The trials of this world were getting closer, and the pull I felt was more than I could bear. And I was on the strength within myself just wasn't there. Oh, let's sing it now. Hey, glory! 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 Hallelujah!
His expectancy for you. It was his desire. give you glory. We give you glory. We give you praise tonight. Oh, all that's under expectation. We give you glory in the house of God. We give you praise in the house of God. We give you worship in the house of God. We shut ourselves off from the world, Lord. We shut ourselves off from the world's expectation. We immerse ourselves tonight in your thoughts for us. How the prophet said, Lord David, many years ago, your thoughts are so precious toward us. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, friends, something's about to break in this building tonight. We're on the verge of something right now. Oh my, I believe the Holy Ghost is right over top of us right now. He wants to move on us tonight in a great way. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. Lead us in something, buddy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, I pray right now you'd have your way on whoever else is holding back in this congregation. Lord, if there's a stubborn heart, if there's a stubborn mind, I pray you'd break it right now in the name of Jesus. Take that stiff and starchiness, Lord. May you crumble it and break it. May the power of the Holy Ghost liberate those that are captive tonight. In the name of Jesus, may you break every fetter, I pray. Oh God. Oh God. Oh Lord Jesus, the hour's too late. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Mighty God,
with leading stripes on and sides, spread that night, and every day began to see.
You're in a reason. Oh, in your mind. Reach out and praise. Defy those chains. And then
time without music. I bless everybody now your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Give you praise. Thank you for your visitation, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Mercy. About what I was raised in this message, just a boy that was raised cutting my teeth. God sent a prophet. No hope, no expectancy, no preparation. And I look at my life today, 21 years later, from what it was when I was a little tiny boy. First time I ever heard these brothers play music, I was 6 years old in a little church in Kentucky, paneling up there on the walls. Come from a little place that believed return ministry. The only thing we looked for was Brother Branham. I never really had a touch on him. Never felt him in my lifetime. But I never will forget stepping in that little church of mine. I didn't know what Brother Donnie was preaching. I had no idea what they was even singing about. But there's one thing I felt. That presence. Though I was just a boy, I recognized that was Almighty God. Now here I am, a man heading toward middle age. I look back on my life. I failed him so many times I'm ashamed of myself. And yet my expectation is greater now than it's ever been in my time. You know what I believe it proves? I believe it proves that grace is not just grace to us anymore. But it's amazing. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh yes, I want.
Thank you.